The Gambler by Katharine Cecil Thurston Part 1 Chapter 1 An 8-mile drive over rain-washed Irish roads in the quick-falling dust of autumn is an experience trying to the patience, even to the temper, of the average Saxon. Yet James Milbank made neither comment nor objection as mile after mile of roadway spun away like a ribbon behind him, as the mud rose in showers from the wheels of the old-fashioned trap in which he sat, and the half-trained mare between the shafts swerved now to the right, now to the left, her nervous glance caught by the spectral shapes of the blackthorn hedges or the motionless forms of the wayside donkeys lying asleep in the ditches. Perhaps this stoicism was the outcome of an innate power to endure. Perhaps it was a merely negative quality, illustrating the lack of that doubtful blessing, imagination. But whatever its origin, it stood him in good stead as he covered the long stretch of flat country that links the southeastern seaport of Muskerry with the remote fishing village of Carrigmoor and its outlying district of Orristown. His outlook upon Ireland, like his outlook upon life, was untinged by humor. He had seen no ground for amusement in the fact that he had been the only passenger to alight from the train at the Muskerry terminus, and consequently no ground for loneliness in the sight of the solitary vehicle dimly silhouetted against the murky sky that had awaited his coming. The ludicrous points of the scene, the primitive railway station with its insufficient flickering lights, its little knot of inquisitive idlers, its one quarter, slovenly, amiable, incorrigibly lazy, all contributing the unconscious background to his own neat, conventional, totally alien personality, had left him untouched. The only individual to whom the picture had made its appeal had been the solitary porter. As he relieved Milbank of his valise and rug on the step of the first-class carriage, an undeniable twinkle had gleamed in his eyes. "Fine soft night, sir," he had volunteered. "Tim Burke is outside for you." For a second, Milbank had stared at him in a mixture of doubt and displeasure. A month's pilgrimage to the ancient Celtic landmark had left him, as it has left many a Saxon before him, unlearned in that most interesting and most inscrutable of all survivals, the Celt himself. He had surveyed the face of the porter cautiously and half-distrustfully. Then he had made a guarded reply. "I am certainly expecting a conveyance," he had admitted, "but I have never heard of Tim Burke." "Why, then Tim has heard of you," the other had replied with unruffled suavity. "Isn't it the English gentleman that's going to stop with Mr. Ashland over at Orristown that you are? Sure, Tim told me all about you. And I knew the minute I sat eyes on you, let alone there was no one else in the train." Without more ado, he had hoisted Milbank's belongings to his shoulder and lounged out of the station. "Here ye are, Tim man," he had exclaimed as he deposited the articles one after another under the seat of the trap with a lofty disregard of their owner. "'Tis a soft night and a long road you have before you. Is it cold, the mare is?" He had paused to eye the impatient young animal before him with the Irishman's unfailing appreciation of horse flesh. Here Milbank, feeling that some veiled reproof had been suggested, had broken in upon the monologue. "I hope I haven't injured the horse by the delay," he had said hastily. "The train was exactly 22 minutes behind its time." Then, for the first time, the old coachman had bent down from his lofty position. "And sure, what harm if it was, sir?" he had exclaimed, voicing the hospitality due to his master's guest. "What hurry is there at all, so long as it brought you safe?" "True you are, Tim," the porter had interjected softly, and seizing Milbank's arm he had swung him into the trap precisely as he had swung the luggage a few seconds previously. "Thank you, sir," he had murmured a moment later. "Good night to you. Good night, Tim. Safe road." And drawing back, he had looked on with admiration while Burke had gathered.